Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. We'll look at Chapter 4 under Legal Aspects of Supply Chain Management. Chapter 4, Laws of Arbitration. Arbitration and conciliation, alternative dispute resolution, confidential methods like arbitration, conciliation, mediation, and negotiation to settle disputes outside court. Arbitration, an impartial arbitrator decides after hearing both sides. Conciliation, a conciliator helps parties reach a mutual agreement. Now, what do you mean by alternative dispute resolution? For all resolutions, we think of going to court, but the court, considering that there are corporate issues involved, management issues involved, and could be issues where the court does not have the expertise for the technical aspects of a dispute, there is something called an alternative dispute resolution, where certain cases, certain guidelines set by courts are followed, and a process of arbitration and reconciliation and conciliation is followed by companies to resolve the disputes. Arbitration, an impartial arbitrator decides after hearing both sides. Now, while an arbitrator is impartial in terms of having no interests in the two companies or the dispute, but has knowledge of the business and the industry that the two companies or the two parties are involved. Conciliation, a conciliator helps parties reach a mutual agreement. Now, what is the difference between the two? A conciliator helps understand what the two parties are trying to put up, or what is their dispute, and come to an agreement. That means both come to a mutual agreement. It is like both take two steps ahead and join, come together and resolve the issue. An arbitration is more or less a decision that the arbitrator takes, and this decision is binding on both the parties. Differences between arbitration and conciliation. The person appointed for arbitration is called an arbitrator, while for conciliation it is a conciliator. An arbitrator can enforce their decisions, a conciliator cannot. Arbitration requires a prior agreement, conciliation does not. Arbitration applies to both existing and future disputes, while conciliation only applies to existing disputes. Arbitration is a legal proceeding, conciliation is not. Let's understand. The person's names are arbitration is done by an arbitrator and conciliation is done by a conciliator. An arbitrator can enforce their decision because it is more or less a court proceeding or a legal proceeding, but outside the periphery or the premises or the walls of the court. A conciliator cannot. He is only suggesting a mutual agreement or a mutual resolution for the dispute. Arbitration requires a prior agreement, which means that the agreement that the two parties have signed should have a clause of arbitration, and there are other terms conditions which we will see further for an arbitrator to be appointed and the proceedings to be gone through as an arbitration. Conciliation does not require any prior agreement, and both the parties, if they agree at that point of time that the dispute comes up, to go in for a conciliation process. Arbitration applies to both existing and future disputes, which means that it is like the cases in court. If the decision is taken by the arbitrator currently, all such similar issues happening at a later point of time can also be ruled under the same award of arbitration or the same decision that the arbitration process gave us. While conciliation only applies to existing disputes, as we have understood, conciliation is a process of coming to a mutual agreement. So it cannot definitely be for future cases because the two parties involved would be different. Arbitration is a legal proceeding, conciliation is not. As we saw earlier, arbitration is a legal process which takes place outside the court, whereas conciliation is a friendly discussion between all the parties, including the conciliator, who then suggests a mutual agreement based on whatever facts and figures and evidence that is provided in front of him. The Arbitration and Conciliation Act of 1940 governs arbitration in India until it was replaced by the Arbitration and Conciliation Act of 1996. Now, what was the need or what were the differences between the two laws or the two acts? The 1996 Act, introduced by procedural and substantive improvements for dispute resolution, such as scope and coverage, covers domestic and international arbitrations seated in India, unlike the more limited 1940 Act, which means that the 1996 Act now looks at international arbitrations also if the companies involved are seated in India. They also cover, of course, the domestic arbitrations. Power of court minimizes the role of courts, enabling a more autonomous arbitration process, which means that the arbitrator now has got a little more authority than the courts. Otherwise, the arbitrator would then refer the dispute, if no agreement is accepted, to the court. How is the arbitration process? Appointment of arbitrators. Parties typically appoint arbitrators with limited court involvement in specific cases. Time limit: arbitration awards must be made within 12 months, extendable by 6 months with consent. So there is a time-bound activity, and that is the reason that today companies look at arbitration as a very good means of dispute resolution rather than going to court, where the dates and the time required to resolve the dispute can go into years. Enforcement of awards allows enforcement of foreign arbitral awards. So the Act of 1996 now recognizes in international awards, arbitration awards, and puts the Indian companies to accept them and follow those, enforce those arbitration awards. The Arbitration and Conciliation Act of 1996 offers a more streamlined and efficient dispute resolution than the earlier Act. Few significant differences in setting aside of arbitral awards between the Arbitration and Conciliation Act of 1940 and 1996. The setting aside of arbitral awards involves annulment by a court. The procedures under the Arbitration and Conciliation differ from the 1940 Act in the following. The 1996 Act has a more limited scope for grounds to set aside an award and establishes a 3-month time period for applications. Indian courts interpret the grounds for setting aside an award narrowly under the 1996 Act. Let's understand this a little more. The setting aside of arbitral awards involves annulment by a court, which means that once an award is given by the arbitration process, it is annulled by a court, that means made legal and binding. The procedures under the Arbitration and Conciliation Act differ from the 1940 Act in the following ways. The 1996 Act has a more limited scope for grounds to set aside an award and establishes a 3-month time limit for applications, which means that let's say an arbitration process has got completed and before the award is declared, or rather before the final decision is made or the final ruling is given by the arbitrator, which is called an award, the two parties have only a 3-month time limit to put up applications against or their disagreement on the award. Indian courts interpret the grounds for setting an award narrowly under the 1996 Act, which means that the arbitration process is more or less to be accepted by the companies except for a very small number of or a very narrow conditions, very limited conditions under which they can be heard in court. Section 34 states that the listed grounds are the only reasons for setting aside an arbitral award. However, it also recognizes additional grounds under sections 13, 16, 75 and 81. This means that Section 34 along with Section 13, 16, 75 and 81 define the conditions that under which an arbitral award can be set aside and the case can be then taken to court. The grounds in Section 34 are clear and specify avoiding open-ended language, to align with the Act's objectives. The scope of public policy in its explanation is limited to fraud, corruption, breaches of confidentiality, or admissibility of evidence, which means that the grounds for setting aside the award are clear. One is specific, avoiding open-ended language. If the award has an open-ended language, it can be set aside. To align with the Act's objectives, the scope of public policy in its explanation is limited to fraud, which means that the awards only under fraud, corruption, or breaches of confidentiality or admissibility of evidence can be accepted. If either of them do not fall in under these, then they can be set aside. Objectives of the Arbitration and Conciliation Act 1996. The Arbitration and Conciliation Act of 96 consolidates laws on arbitration and conciliation with the following objectives. Guidelines for international and domestic arbitration and conciliation are provided. Arbitration is just, fair, and effective with recent awards from the tribunal. Tribunals operate within their jurisdiction and may use mediation and conciliation, reducing court oversight. What does this mean? This means that the Act consolidates laws on arbitration and conciliation with the following objectives. With the objectives of providing guidelines for international and domestic arbitration and conciliation. Arbitration is just, fair, and effective with proper reasoning for the awards from the tribunal. Tribunals operate within their jurisdiction and they do not exceed their limits, their boundaries, and use mediation and conciliation to try and reduce the court time and the court oversight. Objectives of the Arbitration and Conciliation Act. Arbitral awards are court decrees and conciliation results may be treated as such. Foreign awards under international conventions are recognized in India. These are the two main conditions for objectives of the Arbitration and the Conciliation Act. Arbitration agreement. An arbitration agreement is a written agreement between parties to submit certain disputes to arbitration concerning a defined legal relationship, whether contractual or not. It can be a signed document, an exchange of letters, telex, telegrams, or electronic communication that record the agreement. Which means an arbitration agreement must be a written agreement between the two parties to submit certain disputes to arbitration concerning a defined legal relationship. Whether it is contractual or not, whether it is part of the contract or it is not, it can also be a signed document, which means that you sign a separate arbitration agreement. An exchange of letters or telex or telegrams or electronic communication that record the agreement, which means that it need not be a document that is hard copy and signed. It can also be an exchange of letters, telex, telegrams, or electronic communications that record the agreement to go in for an arbitration process. An arbitration agreement may also arise from an exchange of claim and defense statements where one party alleges the agreement and the other does not deny it. A written contract referencing an arbitration clause constitutes an agreement if it incorporates that clause, which means that you must have seen in many agreements that there is an arbitration clause. Now, what it states there is that certain disputes with the consent of both the parties would be put up for arbitration if there is no resolution that is found. During Section 9 or 11 petitions, the court may refer parties to mediation or conciliation if a potential state settlement is identified and both parties consent, which means that even if there is a case in court, the court can direct the parties to go in for a mediation or a conciliation if a potential settlement is identified and both parties agree to it. The arbitration process. Types of arbitration. Arbitration without court intervention. Arbitration with court intervention, including when no suit is pending, when a suit is pending. What does this mean? This means that arbitration without court intervention means that the two parties do not go to court, but they go in for arbitration on their own as per the agreement or the contract that they have signed. Arbitration with court intervention, which means that there is a suit that is pending in court and the court direct looks at the case, understands, and then the judge says that it's better to go in for an arbitration process. A situation where the suit is not pending, which means that there is no charges that have been filed, but once the case is presented into court, the judge, before admitting the case itself, tells the parties, go in for arbitration. If you do not resolve it, then come back to court. Judicial authority powers. A judicial authority must refer parties to arbitration if a party applies before submitting its first statement on the dispute, provided the action is within the scope of an arbitration agreement. What does this mean? Let's understand. A judicial authority must refer parties to arbitration if a party applies before submitting its first statement on the dispute, provided the action is within the scope of an arbitration agreement, which means that at the arbitration agreement has defined what all kind of disputes that will be referred to under arbitration. Now, one of the parties, before they submit its statement in the court on the dispute, they apply for the arbitration process. In such a case, the court will tell them to go in for, will accept that application and permits the arbitration process to be started before the case goes to court. To admit a case for arbitration, the following must be met. A valid agreement between the parties is required within the scope of arbitration, which means that the dispute should fall in the scope of the arbitration, the disputes that have been listed in the agreement or the contract that was signed. A stay request must be made before the first statement on the dispute to the relevant judicial authority. If the company, let's say, has gone ahead and filed a case in court, before the case comes up for hearing and the first statement is recorded on the dispute, there has to be a stay request from the other party or from either party and move the process to the arbitration. The original arbitration agreement or a certified copy must be attached with the judicial authority satisfaction on the references reason. So when the application is made by either of the parties, they must also attach the original arbitration agreement or a certified copy, and the dispute should be included in the description of the contract. Arbitration can proceed even if one party petitions the court, which means that there need not be an agreement of the parties to go in for arbitration. Even if one of the parties requests for an arbitration, the court will allow it. Submission of disputes to arbitration. Any commercial dispute among parties in India or between Indian and foreign parties agreeing to counsel arbitration. The council can administer arbitration for any dispute related to the commercial transactions in subclause A. If parties specify different procedures for arbitration, the council will proceed only if both agree to the rules of arbitration. So it is very clear what kind of submission of disputes to arbitration. Any commercial dispute among parties in India or between Indian and foreign parties agreeing to the council of arbitration. The council can administer arbitration for any dispute related to the commercial transactions which means under subclause A, which means all the commercial disputes. If parties specify different procedures for arbitration, the council will proceed only if both agree to the rules of arbitration. Let's take a case where one is an Indian company and the other is a foreign party. Now, both of them, as per the laws of their countries, have got different procedures for arbitration. The arbitration council in India will accept the arbitration process only if both the parties agree to the rules of arbitration in India, which means that both have to agree to the process of arbitration as it prevails and as it is practiced in the country. The council can act as the appointing authority under UNCITRAL arbitration rules. Persons who can refer to arbitration. Partner, any partner can refer matters to arbitration without consent but cannot submit business disputes without authority. An authorized agent can bind their principal in arbitration agreements. A joint Hindu family, the manager can refer family property disputes to arbitration if beneficial. Persons who can refer to arbitration, any partner, which means that a partner can go in and ask for, can refer a matter to arbitration without consent, but he cannot submit any business disputes without the authority or the agreement from the other partners. An authorized agent can bind their principal in arbitration agreements, which means can agree to go in for arbitration on behalf of the principal and the principal would have to accept it. Joint Hindu family, the joint head of Hindu family, that is the HUF, the manager, also called the manager, can refer family property disputes to arbitration if that is the best course of action. Now the arbitration process. Minors cannot submit to arbitration. Guardians need court permission to refer disputes for the minor's benefit. Official assignee. The official assignee can refer disputes to arbitration and settle claims. Subjects referable to arbitration. Before we get to the subjects, let's understand. Even minors cannot submit to arbitration. Guardians need court permission. That means if there is a minor involved for a claim of property or whatever, claim of certain rights, the guardians of that minor would have to go to court, get permission to refer the disputes of the minor's benefit to the arbitration process. Once the court permits it, then the arbitration process can be followed. Official assignee. The official assignee can refer disputes to arbitration and settle claims, which means that if there is a person who has been assigned the authority of being an official representative in a country or for a business or for an activity, then that official assignee can refer disputes to arbitration depending on his authority and his responsibility and get the claim settled. Subjects referable to arbitration, civil matters affecting private rights including breach of promise to marry, dignity or trespass disputes, movable property disputes, breaches of contract. Subjects referable to arbitration, civil matters, all civil matters affecting private rights are including breach of promise to marry or the dignity or trespass disputes, which means that you are responsible for diminishing or for abusing the dignity of another person. The person can go in for an arbitration process, or both of you will agree that there is no settlement for the dispute, so you both agree to it, or there is trespassing. Trespassing means one of the parties trespasses through the property or through the space of another party. Movable property disputes, which means the ownership of a car sold, money paid, not paid, all such disputes. Breaches of contract, where there has been a contract that you have signed with somebody and there has been a breach of that contract on either side. Questions of title to immovable property. Many a times in our families in India, a lot many people do not have wills. Now, when there are no wills, there is a procedure to be followed for claiming that immovable property. But there are disputes that come up in the family and a claim to that property is made. Now, such disputes, when they arise, can be also put up to arbitration. And then after the arbitration award, the actual legal process will be followed to claim the immovable property. Questions of law or fact. time barred claims. If there are any questions with respect to law or whatever have been other cases in the past, there can be, or if the claim has been time barred, then those claims can be put up for an arbitration process and the dispute can then be settled. Questions as to whether judgment has been properly obtained or not. There could be a situation where there has been a court case that has come up and there's already a ruling made, but that ruling is not acceptable to one of the parties because the party suspects that the judgment was biased and was based on certain information which was not disclosed by one of the parties. In such a situation, where a request can be made to the court and the court would direct it for an arbitration process, where the investigation or the facts are found out outside the court and then the entire findings along with the arbitration award are presented to court. Questions relating to the past or future maintenance of a widow. These questions are personal but and refer to the individual widow's maintenance and can also be put up for an arbitration process where the opposite party doesn't accept, or whoever has been named to look after the maintenance doesn't accept that as his or her responsibility. Matters which are prevented from referring for arbitration include questions relating to genuineness of a will. Now, this cannot be, the genuineness of a will cannot be questioned in the arbitration process. It will have to go to court. Matters of criminal nature, whether somebody does a criminal act, no criminal acts or no criminal offenses are looked at through the arbitration process. Cases relating to public nuisance. Again, when people and government and public is involved, there is no arbitration process. Matters of public interest. Usually, matters of public interest are against government or certain authority or a corporate. Now, these matters are not looked at in the arbitration process. A claim for custody of wife, petition for restitution of conjugal rights, divorce, etc. Absolutely personal matters which require court. Insolvency proceedings. Wherever there has been insolvency, where somebody says that he is bankrupt because he has no money and there are certain recoveries financially to be made, those proceedings also will not be decided by the arbitration process. Claims arising out of illegal transactions. If there are certain illegal transactions that have been made and there are any claims arising out of that, those will not be settled or not be looked at under the arbitration process because there needs to be a proper investigation and an authorized investigation with the police and the other authorities involved. Questions relating to public charities and charitable trusts. Now, these are questions where wherever there are public charities where public is involved and charitable trusts, they cannot be under the arbitration process. Execution proceedings definitely cannot be under arbitration. Proceedings relating to appointment of a guardian to a minor, where legalities and court rulings are required so that there is a proper decision that is made and a valid document is available to prove the guardianship, this cannot definitely be under the arbitration process. Questions relating to offenses affecting public at large. Again, when public, governments and other law and order situations are concerned, the questions cannot be put under, the disputes cannot be put under the arbitration process. What is an arbitration tribunal? Composition of an arbitral tribunal. Number of arbitrators. Parties may choose an odd number. If unspecified, one arbitrator will be appointed. Appointment of arbitrators. Any nationality may serve as arbitrator. Parties can agree on the appointment procedure. If no agreement is reached within 30 days for a sole arbitrator, the concerned authority will appoint one, which means here the concerned authority is the court. Composition of arbitral tribunal. In a three-arbitrator arbitration, each party appoints one and the two select the presiding arbitrator, which means that in a three-arbitrator arbitration process, each party, the dispute parties, will appoint one arbitrator, and the two arbitrators so appointed or so selected will select the third one. If they cannot agree within 30 days, the concerned authorities will appoint the third arbitrator. The concerned authority must obtain a written disclosure from the prospective arbitrator per section 12(1) and consider. Now, before we get into this, the concerned authority and what is the disclosure, let us understand why it needs to be an odd number of arbitrators. The reason is that if it is a single person, then both the parties have got only one person to look at, and his decision would be final. Whenever there are three arbitrators, if with two arbitrators and there is a disagreement, then there is no solution found. So in this case, there is a third arbitrator who is the final authority, and his decision would be binding on the two arbitrators and the two parties. Having understood that, let's understand what is it that the arbitrator needs to do. The concerned authority, that is the court, will obtain a written disclosure from the prospective arbitrator as per section 12, subclause 1, and consider any qualifications specified by the parties' agreement, which means that if the dispute is of a technical nature, the parties may have specified that they want an arbitrator who is part of that industry, who has experience in the industry, who has technical knowledge about the dispute, and who can actually understand what the dispute is about. The disclosure contents and factors ensuring an independent and impartial arbitrator. The disclosure must mention that the arbitrator is totally independent and has nothing to do with either the two parties nor the dispute, and has absolutely no personal gain with the outcome of the award. The authority may appoint a sole or third arbitrator of a nationality different from that of the parties in international commercial arbitration. This is to reduce the bias in terms of being fellow countrymen for international commercial arbitration. Grounds for challenge. An arbitrator candidate must disclose any circumstances that indicate a relationship with the companies or the subject matter, impair their ability to complete the arbitration within 12 months. The fifth schedule assesses independence, while the sixth schedule mandates written reporting of relevant circumstances. What does this mean? This means that an arbitrator candidate must disclose any circumstances that indicate any relationship with the companies or the subject matter, which will prove that he is likely to be biased in giving his award. Also, that they impair their ability to complete the arbitration process within 12 months. If he has any health issues, or if he has some other engagements because of which he is not able to complete the arbitration process within 12 months, then he will not be allowed to be appointed as an arbitrator. The fifth schedule assesses independence, which means that it will confirm that the arbitrator is absolutely independent and unbiased, while the sixth schedule mandates written reporting of relevant circumstances, which means while the fifth schedule assesses the independence based on the background and the details given by the candidate, the sixth schedule demands everything to be reported and all the relevant circumstances. Conduct of arbitral proceedings, equal treatment of parties. Parties must be treated equally and allowed to present their cases fully. This is the role of the arbitrator. He has to treat both the parties as equal, cannot be biased towards one, and will have to be patient enough for all the evidence to be produced and the cases to be put up by both the parties. Determination of rules of procedure. Parties can agree on the procedure. If not, the tribunal may proceed as it deems appropriate. The tribunal determines the admissibility and weight of evidence. Now, it is the arbitrator in terms in as an equivalent to the judge in a court case who agrees, who shares the procedure that he would follow with the parties. Now, if the parties do not agree on this procedure, the tribunal, that is the arbitrator, will proceed as it deems appropriate. The tribunal, that means the arbitrator, also determines the admissibility and the weight of evidence, which means he decides whether an evidence which is given has any value to the case or does not, and if it has value to the case, what is its importance with respect to the case. Place of arbitration, parties can agree on the arbitration location, otherwise the tribunal decides. Normally, arbitration processes are usually conducted in a neutral place to remove all bias, even in terms of providing space or the premises. So, it will not be either of the two companies, it will be a third location. Now, this third location, if not agreed by the two parties, the tribunal can then give their decision, and that would be binding to the two parties. Commencement of proceedings. Proceedings begin upon receipt of a request for arbitration, which means that the appointment process itself of an arbitrator is the starting point, because what does the law say? The law says proceedings begin upon receipt of a request for arbitration, which means as soon as court receives a request for arbitration, the process has started. Fast track procedure. Parties may agree to a fast track resolution with a sole arbitrator. Appointing three arbitrators would take a considerable amount of time to find the right person technically as well as qualified to do the arbitration process. So, the parties may agree to a fast track resolution with a sole arbitrator. Fast track arbitration procedure resolved via written documents. Oral hearings only if requested by all or deemed necessary. Tribunal selects a suitable procedure for swift resolution. Award issued within 6 months. Fees determined by arbitrator and parties. For a fast track arbitration procedure, which is the normal process that is followed, is that all the requests and all the evidence is resolved via written documents, which means the case is put up through written documents, which means that there is no actual hearing that is happening. Except if there is a requirement, then the party who would like to get into a hearing will have to convince and accept, get acceptance from all those concerned, that means the arbitrator and the other party, for a verbal hearing. Tribunal selects a suitable procedure for swift resolution. The tribunal, that is the arbitrators, may decide whether they would like to hear the case or whether they would like to look at the documents and the evidence that is provided and then to take a decision. The award is issued within 6 months. Now, normally an arbitration process, as per the court and as per the rules of the law, say that the arbitration process should be settled within 12 months. Now, if it is fast forwarded and there is a quick resolution that is found, then the arbitrator and the entire process needs to be compensated for the fees, in terms of fees, for the balance period. Now, this is decided by the arbitrator and the parties as a mutual consent.